Remain standing for the reading of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Terry did a great job, didn't she? Yeah, Terry does a lot of great things at Foley. She helps oversee our care ministry. This is not a normal Easter thing. Terry, why don't you come on back up and preach this morning? Yeah, come on. I think she'd do a great job. Come on. Don't y'all want Terry to preach? I mean, y'all don't need me to preach. You want April Fools. I've been waiting my whole life for Easter to be on April Fool's Day. Some of my preacher friends and I have talked. They're like, if you can't preach an Easter sermon on April Fool's Day, I don't know when you'll ever be able to preach an Easter sermon. But you know what? What happens, and I bet this happened to you, everything changes when something gets real. I bet some of you, as you sat there and you heard me invite Terry, she was actually in on it, something in you went, is he really doing this? Is he really going to make that? Is he really going to make her come up and do this? You're like, this crazy guy has lost his head. You know, everything changes when something gets real. Everything in our life is that way. Say a prayer with me, and then let's jump in and think about that. God, we give you thanks this morning that you are a God that changes everything, that you are a God who is full of surprises, that a tomb we thought would be closed is empty, that a Savior they thought would be dead is alive, and that you give us the great gift of coming and encountering him. Lord, don't let us miss what you have for us in the beauty of the resurrection, that this isn't just an event that happened. Lord, give us courage and strength to think about why it matters to each of us individually. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've thought a lot about how everything changes when something gets real. It happens in all kind of places, and you probably know this. But one of the places I was thinking about it in my own life where it's happened is this idea of parenting. The weekend before my first child was born, we had a big event planned at the church that I served, and we had brought a guest speaker in who knew that we were due with our child any day now. And so as he got up to begin preaching that day, he said, you know, those of you that are parents know that Nolan is about to go through a big change in his life. He says he doesn't know it, but he's about to go through a big change. And he says, this is what happens to preachers who have kids. He says, most preachers, before they have kids, he said, they're the experts on how to raise children. And he said, and they preach sermon series before they have kids with titles like this, 10 Ironclad Rules to Raise Your Children the Way Jesus Would. And he said, but all of you who are parents already know that a year from now, if Nolan teaches a sermon series on parenting, that it's going to change. And it's going to be 5 guidelines for how you might raise your kids. And he says, and then what's really going to be happening is if you track him down 10, 20 years from now after lots of kids and lots of years, he said, this is the sermon series that he'll preach. One thing I think I might think about how to raise your kids. Because the truth is, and those of you who are parents or have ever watched someone become a parent or have ever known a parent, know that it is easy to think everything nice and neat, to think you understand everything before you get into the moment. And then when you get into it, all of a sudden everything changes. Everything begins to be different, and the reality of what actually plays out isn't what you thought it would be. If you haven't seen this in watching someone become a parent, I bet you've seen it in getting married or in transferring to a new job, or I bet you've seen it in the way that you thought you would deal with getting older or fighting an illness in your life. I bet you've seen it with the way you thought you would talk to that person in the homeowners association down the street from you. It all seems a whole lot easier and neat and tidy before you get into the middle of it. But the reality is that everything changes when something gets real. The empty tomb is when Jesus gets real. The empty tomb is when Jesus gets real. In that text that Terry did read so very well this morning, the women come to that tomb. And I love to think about those women on that Easter morning. I love to think about what they may have been experiencing and thinking and feeling. Because when they came to that tomb on that Easter morning, early before the sun came up, just as light was beginning to crest over the trees, when they came to the tomb, they did not come because they thought the tomb would be empty. They did not come because they thought, oh, we're going to go now and Jesus isn't going to be in the tomb. They went to the tomb for the same reason that you and I go to a grave. They went seeking solace. They went to mourn and grieve. They went to try and figure out what's going to happen in my life. What am I going to do next? And they were crushed. They were devastated by what they went through. I read an article this week about Clara Esther. Some of you know Clara. She's lives in Mobile, worked at the Dumas Wesley Community Center for a long time. She's actually preached at this church in the last 18 months. She was standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel 50 years ago when Martin Luther King was shot. She told her story this week in the news about what it was like to be there when Dr. King died. And she said that for those that had followed his movement and for the impact that he was making in the world and in the community, that they felt like darkness had descended upon them. That they felt like everything that they had come to believe might could happen was immediately wiped away. They said that they were lost for days after Dr. King died. If that's how they felt when a leader like Dr. King died, can you imagine what those women must have experienced? Because Jesus was different. Jesus was one that they had begun to put their hope in. Jesus was one that they had begun to think was going to make a difference. There had been teachers and leaders and folks who had come along periodically, and they would have begun to amass a following, and a crowd would have been interested in them, and they would have begun to say, well, maybe, just maybe, this is the one. But anyone who had ever come before, eventually they would get frustrated and quit, or the leaders would find some way to buy them off or kill them, or they would eventually just kind of pass away into nothing. But something happened when Jesus came. He attracted a crowd unlike anyone had ever had before. And what he was saying was different than what people had said. He gave people who had been forgotten a chance. Just the fact that it's those women who are the first ones to the tomb, those women who in the first century would have been virtually invisible, just the fact that they're the ones who come to discover the empty tomb is a reminder of how much power Jesus was giving to people who for years had been forgotten. Jesus came and he said, I'm not into this game where you have to dress the right way or play the right part or have power with the right people in order to gain favor with God. He came throwing his arms wide open saying, there's room in my kingdom for everyone, that I love you because you're mine and I claim you, and I long to transform you from the inside out that you might become a person of wholeness and light and completeness. And the people began to come and say, this is what we've been longing for. And because he was different, this anticipation began to grow of maybe this is the one who's going to change everything. Maybe this is the one that we can finally put our hope in. And that only adds to the level of despair that must have come when Jesus was crucified and killed, and they watched that stone roll in front of that tomb. That Easter morning, they came with all of that pent up inside of them, all of that stirring inside of them, and this divine sight was before their eyes when they made their way in the hazy morning light up to the place where Jesus had been laid. The stone was rolled back away from the tomb. There was a heavenly messenger sitting there waiting to announce the good news, and the guards that the Romans had sent to secure the place were passed out in fear. With great fear, these women came up, and they were confused, and you and I would have been too. As they stood there, this messenger looked at them, and he told them what he said he was going to say. He said, "He is not here. He has risen," just as he said he would. He gave them this message of good news. He told them what we all know. He told them what it is we come here to celebrate today. This tomb where he was, this place where he was dead, he is no longer here. His life, which was taken from him, has been returned by one more powerful than anything in all of the world. He even invited them, that messenger said, "Come inside and look where he was." I love the way the Bible writers tell the story when they emphasize a word like the past tense. They said, "Where he was." I wonder what went through those women's mind as they stood there and took all of this in. I wonder what they thought about as they tried to compute what was happening in front of their eyes. I wonder what they began to feel as they allowed themselves to have an inkling of hope that maybe Jesus wasn't gone. I think you and I know what they thought. I think we know what they felt, because I think you've felt it before. I think they felt, this just got real. I think something in them shifted to say, this has moved from what we thought it was to the fullness of what it can be. I think they began to think, this got real, and I think the text tells us that, because the Bible tells us that as they walked away from the tomb, that they were filled with great joy, which makes a lot of sense. They were excited to see their friend again. They were excited to continue the mission that they had been on together, but they were also filled with fear. I don't think this is the fear that they had when they showed up wondering what it was that had happened. I think this is a fear of the weight and the magnitude of what they were experiencing. I wonder if there's a sense that for them, as they experienced this moment of Jesus getting real, if something happened in them where maybe it was a little bit like when I became a parent. Where for me, before I was a parent, it was a whole lot easier to be an expert on parenting. Before I was a parent, I knew all the ways that everyone ought to be raising their kid. I could look at anyone else and say, that's not how you should do that. You should be doing this. This is the way you do it. And then you have kids, and it doesn't work quite like that. All of a sudden, it changes. It gets real when you're in the middle of it. And I wonder if for them, Jesus was wonderful and great, and they loved his teaching. And they loved the ideas that he gave, and really it was some great advice to help their life along. But I wonder if part of the reason that they were fearful and this sense of awe at the magnitude of who he was is because no longer could they keep Jesus at a distance. It wasn't just some good teaching that they could apply if it was convenient, or that they could pick and choose the things that worked for them. Because once Jesus proves that nothing can stop him, once Jesus proves that death will not stop him, once Jesus proves that you can kill him and it still will not end who he is or what he's about, all of a sudden, now Jesus becomes someone that every single human will have to reckon with. Jesus becomes someone that we can't just begin to think, is this something that might help me along? Jesus becomes truth. Everything he said becomes actual and validated. The resurrection serves to validate everything of who Jesus was, what Jesus did, and who he is. But yet it gives us an incredible opportunity to walk into the life and promises that we can only find in him. Oh, I believe that they were fearful because they realized that the magnitude of what Jesus offered and who he was became real in their lives in that moment. But I believe they were joyful as well because he gave them a gift to live permanently into all of those promises that he had offered. It's good news for you and me too. It's good news that every one of us has to reckon with who the risen Jesus is. It's good news because the hope and the life that we long for is available. That it's not just an idea, that it's validated in the resurrection to say we can know a wholeness that we can't find on our own. It's good news because the sense of forgiveness and restoration that we want is something that's attainable. Because it's validated in the resurrection of Jesus that we can know a life we can't get on our own. It's good news because no matter where you are or what you've done, no matter how dark you may feel or how far you may have wandered, no matter how forgotten you may feel or how inconsequential you think your life is, Jesus looks at us and the promise of what he offers is validated in the resurrection to say, you matter to me. You are welcome in my kingdom. I long for you to know a life that you can't get on your own. Jesus doesn't promise that he'll be a silver bullet. He doesn't promise that every struggle and hardship that we face will automatically go away. But what he says to us, as that tomb is empty, as this gets real, as everything changes, is that there is no place you will go that I cannot reach. That no matter how hard it may get, I am there with you. That no matter how far away from me you think you may have gotten, I offer you a path to life that you can't get on your own. I think it's amazing as you look at that text that Terry read a few minutes ago, because there are two groups of people who respond to the resurrection that day. There are the guards that were stationed by the Romans who are passed out in fear over what's happening right there in their midst. And then there are these women, forgotten characters of the first century, that come, as the Bible tells us, seeking the crucified Jesus. Eternity is changing right before their eyes in this moment of the empty tomb. Eternity is changing right before their eyes in the truth of the risen Jesus. And you have one group that is too scared that they are missing it completely. And you have another that says, I'm scared, but I will go quickly and I will join in a journey that will yield a life and a path and a joy that is greater than anything I could ever get on my own. I wonder, as we think about Jesus getting real for you and me on this Resurrection Sunday, which group we find ourselves in. Are we like the guards who are too preoccupied and eternity changes before our eyes and we don't even know? Or are we like those women who say, I'm scared, but I will press in. I will seek this one who was crucified and who is now risen. I will seek this one who will take me on a journey to life and completeness that is unlike anything I can find on my own. The resurrection of Jesus validates all of who he is, and it gives us the incredible opportunity to live into the gifts and promises that he tells us we can have. The empty tomb is when Jesus gets real. But I don't want you to just take my word for it this Easter morning. I want you to know that this story is true and will change your life too. So I want to introduce you to my friend Shane. Shane's going to come and he's going to tell you how Jesus got real in his life so that you too might join this journey that those women lead us on this Easter Sunday. Shane.